The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Later on in the programme, Don and Shaq will be here to reflect on a poor performance for Juventus that saw them lose against Porto 2-1. We start, though, by welcoming in Yanar Fyortov and Ali Moreno to the show as we reflect on Borussia Dortmund's 3-2 victory over Sevilla. Jan, Erling Haaland is very good.
Yeah, he is very good. We just talked to him here in Norway. I'm based in Norway, of course. And he said that he got inspired yesterday by Mbappé. Have you heard about that before? That two players competing at each other. I'm not comparing Mbappé and Haaland with Messi, Ronaldo. No, I don't do that. I just think it's funny that we now have two big, big talents, not only talents, world-class strikers who just showed us this week why they are the most promising people that are coming after the two big ones.
Ali, much like Mbappe yesterday, when Haaland's in front of goal, you just know he's going to score.
Absolutely. In fact, there is no doubt that he's going to score. You see the hunger with which Erling Haaland plays and the desperation to score goals, almost as if it hurts if he's not scoring goals. That desperation, that need to score, that willingness to put himself in positions where he can score, and then the ability and the skill set in order to finish those chances. The execution was fantastic. And let's not forget that the first goal from Borussia Dortmund by Dahoud comes from the fact that Erling Haaland is holding the ball up, that he makes a player that comes across to challenge, that then he gets his head up and finds Dahoud, and Dahoud goes on and finishes. And then in the second play, in which Haaland ends up scoring his second goal, well, the center backs just said this to themselves. All right, in the first one, we got tied to him. He turned us, and then he found Dahoud. Now we're going to play off of him. We're going to lay off of him. And what he did is turn and go at speed. It's that combination and that skill set that you see from Erling Haaland that makes it so very difficult to figure out and makes him a complete striker, because he can turn you with strength, but he can also beat you with speed, and he can dribble the ball, and he can pass, and he can get in the end of 1-2s, and then he can finish. He is completely the full package.
He's only 20.
Yeah. And if I'd have known you were wearing black today, I wouldn't have worn black, by the way.
Right, good. Well, that's completely relevant.
We haven't talked
completely relevant to this discussion.
We're talking about what we're wearing.
I don't think anybody sitting at home thought, well, I wonder if they're going to address the fact they're both wearing black today.
Well, I have.
Well, right, should we address that Erling Haaland's very good and he's only 20?
Is he getting bigger?
I don't know. Is he still growing?
I'm seriously, Jan. He looked to me as if he's... I'm serious. He looks as if he's...
No, but
go on, mate.
It's a very good point, Craig, because he has developed. It's just 13 months since he played his first game for Dortmund. It feels like it's 2-3 years ago. And he came to them, and he was only, I'm just saying only, play behind the back four. He has turned himself into, as Ali said, he has now the whole package. Terzic has been a lot of criticism about him. He's like this teacher coming in at the end of the school year, just having a bit fun at the end. But some of the players have got more defined role by him. Erling Haaland has been told to keep the ball more, get more involved, be more unpredictable. And today you saw from the first minute that Erling Haaland was up for it. I think that the first 45 minutes today was the best he has done in the Dortmund shirt. And yes, he is getting bigger, but I think that is something to do with his body language, with his confidence, with his way of now winning headers, with his way of keeping the ball up. Yes, Craig, so he is looking bigger, but I'm not sure that he is bigger, even if he's not wearing black as you two, but yellow and black.
Listen, don't get aggressive with me. That was a compliment. But by the way, I thought, when his hold-up play, but Sevilla played into their hands. I can't remember in which way the goals in which order, but the one where he held it up on the touchline, those three Sevilla shots around him.
Yeah.
don't care if you're 7 foot and 300 pounds. You shouldn't be able to get out of there. They let him out too easy. When he played the 1-2, it was a brilliant little 1-2. I said to you, the keeper's bottled it.
Yes.
Keeper's bottled it. And for two reasons. One, because I said to you, Haaland's having that. Even if that was a 60-40 to the Sevilla keeper, he's going in. He's right. Fearless. And other players know that. And the keeper was kind of half-hearted, and that just allowed Haaland to attack it. The second, when he went through with Marco Reus in the counter-attack, I was shouting to you, pass it to the big Norwegian. Yes. Do not give it to De Hood.
Yeah.
And as soon as he slipped it to him, it was a great finish. And I think everybody's looking for him. But Sevilla, lots of possession, particularly in the first half. Slow in possession, square passes. Dortmund very clever at that point of the game defensively. Just waited and bided their time, had a good shape, and then just pounced. Waited for that slack ball, or that ball that was a little bit too short. Midfield pounced on it, and they broke brilliantly. The only disappointment for them is they allowed Sevilla back in with that second goal at the end, because up until then, it was an excellent away performance from a team that have been pretty inconsistent.
They've been pretty poor overall, Ali, and you kind of thought when Sevilla took the lead, then was the time to go for the jugular, but they didn't really. They didn't go for it as much as maybe they should have done. Maybe they showed Dortmund a little bit too much respect.
And maybe it is symptomatic of Spanish football. We saw it with Barcelona yesterday, and we saw it with Sevilla today. The fact that there is a gap, and a real gap, in true athleticism, in speed of the game, in going on counterattacks, in forcing turnovers. And when Sevilla slow the play down, and if you're going to keep possession of that ball, then you better be very good with that possession. Because any time that they turned the ball over, it felt like Dortmund, we're going to go on the counter, we're going to utilize that speed, we're going to utilize that momentum, and we're going to be far more dangerous than Sevilla. Similar to what Barcelona and PSG did yesterday. Yeah, Barcelona were having the ball, and then they turned the ball over, and then Mbappe is getting after you. The difference in between PSG and Barcelona and Sevilla and Dortmund is that there is an element of speed, of true speed, that you see in today's game that has become perhaps even more important than the beautiful possession that Barcelona used to have or whatever possession Sevilla had today. That possession game, even though it's important, even though it's part of what we like about what Barcelona does or what Spanish football has done over the years, it seems to be transitioning into something different, and the Spanish teams don't seem to be progressing at the same rate. They don't seem to be adjusting to that, and what you see is when true speed takes over and when true athleticism takes over and you have talent in the front end like PSG does with Mbappe and Dortmund has with Erling Haaland, it's game, set, match.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? At the start of the game, if you offered Borussia Dortmund a 3-2 win, they would have taken it. However, the way in which it played out and Sevilla get themselves back into it, it is now finally poised going into that second leg.
Yeah, and you always got a feeling. I mean, Meunier was like very clumsy at the end there. There could have been a penalty. VAR checked it and they didn't give us ever lucky there. But having said that, Terzic has been so much criticism. They have been doing so bad in the Bundesliga. Sevilla won 9 games in a row. They haven't conceded a goal like in 730 minutes or something. And for Dortmund still go there to get a 3-2 win.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a great, great result. But it's only the dessert for them, because if they go back now against Schalke on Saturday and they lose points there, they could be out of Champions League next year. So this was it was good for their confidence, but it means somehow nothing for them if they don't take that into the Bundesliga.
Who goes through, Jan?
Dortmund.
Ali?
Oh, Borussia Dortmund. No doubt about it.
Wow.
Craig?
Dortmund.
Dortmund as well?
Well, they've got to get into the Champions League via the Bundesliga because they're not going to win this competition. So, it's good as they are to watch sometimes, and as well as they played tonight, they're not strong enough to win this competition. So, their bread and butter is basically the Bundesliga, and that's where they need to sort themselves out.
Right, I'm going to ask Jan it.
Well, Haaland.
Haaland.
Listen, Jan's on a roll at the moment with these Norwegian stars.
Here we go.
Solskjaer's going to let him down. I'm telling you.
Let's get Solskjaer into this conversation.
Well, it's all Norway at the moment.
Jan. Haaland or Mbappe?
Oh, he's going.
Oh, that is a hard one. I have to give you at this time, I have to give you Mbappe. Because he's world champion.
Wow,
he's playing
hurts.
For France. He was in a Champions League final, so I still have to have him. From potential here, that is a hard one.
Yeah. What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say something.
Well, I'm going to say that's a typical ESPN FC question.
It is. It is a typical Dan Thomas question. But that's what
we can't just... Oh, Mbappe last night, fantastic. Oh, Haaland against
United. How long have we been doing this show? How long?
We can't just enjoy these young men.
No, we can't.
You have to go.
No,
Craig.
No, it is
you
impossible.
You always have to make a comparison.
It is, Craig, exactly. Craig, that's what we do.
Craig.
Yes.
I just want to. I remember when I played against you and in your playing days, you were this tough guy. You were always going in for tackles, never have teeth. I know you're so soft. You wanna treat people the same way. Don't say one is better than the other. I mean, that is football. That is sport. That is a table. You know.
What do you mean?
Turning
what do you
into
mean? I never had teeth.
You're
I had teeth at one point in my life. That's teeth. Look.
Yeah, they're definitely not the ones.
Listen, I can tell you, they're my teeth. You know how I know they're my teeth?
Ah, dear.
Because I paid for them. That's how I know.
Ali, who will win more Ballon d'Ors, Haaland or Mbappe?
Wow. I'm going to go with Erling Haaland.
Wow.
Oh.
There's a lot of goals coming from Erling Haaland. If I'm a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid who plays the position, this is the guy that I'm watching play. This is the guy that I want to be like as a striker, Erling Haaland. He is giving a clinic in how to play the position.
ESPN FC hates Mbappe. See?
That's it.
That's
anti-French.
You just hate all the French now. And Messi after yesterday. But amazing players. We just don't have to compare them all.
But
the
we
time.
Will. We're going to do it.
No, but I don't...
We'll do it.
Well,
that's it.
I never heard the producers... Was that that producer again? Did he say to ask that question?
Of course he did.
What have I told you?
I just do as I'm told.
Ignore the man. Right, ignore
I just do as I'm told. That's it. I'm a mere puppet.
Craig.
I'm a mere puppet. Yeah, last word.
Craig, you have... Craig, it's fantastic that you are at the ESPN FC studio and you say that is the ESPN FC studio. That is the sense of ESPN FC studio. So you have to answer that. You have to know who is better, Messi or Ronaldo.
That's not
Mbappe,
the way we roll on this show, though.
Or hold on. Jan. Scotland or England? Come, go for it. Give me something.
Yeah, listen, cut his camera now.
Tell him not to answer, then he will. ESPN FC, thank you very much, Jan and Ali. It's back to Europa League tomorrow.
Yes, we're off.
we will be off. But there will be people here that aren't us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Elsewhere, Porto with a 2-1 victory over Juventus. Both of Porto's goals coming in the opening minutes of both halves. Chiesa getting a late goal for Juve, though. Well, sets things up nicely, doesn't it, for the second leg. Let's welcome in Don Hutchinson and Shaq. Here's Slot Don. How bad were Juventus today?
Oh, they were terrible. They looked really slow. They had no real possession of the football. They could have lost by 3 or 4 easy. Coming away with a 2-1 defeat, it'll be hard to take, but in hindsight, they'll take that all day long. They had chances in the second half late, but they didn't play well, Dan. They were slow moving the ball. I mean, Bentancur and Rabiot in midfield is a very slow partnership, trying to protect Chiellini and De Ligt. So that box of four in the middle for Juve got exposed so many times. Porto, I must say, with Marega up front, I thought they were excellent. They closed them down so quick and so rapidly, but Juventus were terrible.
Xhaka, what was striking? Obviously, you can see that first goal so early on. Bentancur, they're trying to play out the back, makes a complete hash of it. Then you keep trying to play it out from the back and keep repeating the same mistakes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I struggled to understand what Juventus were trying. Listen, I understand that Morata wasn't feeling well, but playing two up front and with Kulusevski and Ronaldo. And Porto just forced Ronaldo out wide, where he's not as effective, certainly not any longer. And then in midfield, the strange thing for me with them defensively is the midfield was pressing, and at the same time, the defensive three or four, however they shaped up, were dropping off. So once Porto passed out to the midfield, it was just kind of wide open for them to run into Juventus' box. So it made no sense going forward, made no sense defensively. They have to count themselves lucky to still be in this tie.
They really do, Craig. Juventus were so poor.
Yeah, and look, they're trying to be this... Well, they're trying to change into something, I'm not quite sure what it is, but they're not a very good team to watch most of the time. Mm-hmm. They were whinging and moaning about the injuries and people they didn't have available. Chiellini had to go off. But they still, it's not like Liverpool where they're playing midfielders at centre-back. They're still playing experienced players that can play in there. You know, we were watching. Well, I was watching more of the Dortmund game because I saw, you know, Porto were pressing him a little bit. Juve really looked vulnerable. The Bentancur mistake was horrendous. The second goal wasn't great either. Ronaldo was crying for a penalty. I don't know what the boys think. I didn't think it was a penalty because he was already on the way over.
Yeah.
He made a big deal about it. But I would not be surprised if one Porto, obviously their favourites to go through, even though they have to travel with it. Well, I have no idea where the hell the game is even going to be with all these games played around Europe. But I wouldn't be surprised if Porto were to go away from home to Italy or wherever and beat them. That's how poor
really?
This Juventus... Yeah, that's how poor this Juventus side are at the moment. What, fourth in Serie A?
Yeah.
Unlikely to win that and really look a shadow of themselves. And people say they're trying to make changes. Pirlo has no track record. He's no CV to fall back on in terms of trying to make all these changes. Say what you want about him as a player. Right? It's not like they've brought in some super-duper experienced coach who's been over the course before and he knows what he's doing. He doesn't. He's a novice at this game in terms of management.
Shaka, let's pick up on that penalty. Yes or no late on?
I thought it was.
Oh.
I thought Ronaldo's control was good. Maybe he does anticipate the contact from Sanusi coming, but I think once the control is clean and Sanusi is nowhere close to the ball, he just clatters into Ronaldo, who admittedly makes a meal of it, but I think there was more than enough contact.
Don?
No, not for me. I thought he was desperate there, Ronaldo. I thought what he was trying to do, he was trying to chop inside. Defender put the brakes on. I think we've got to get away, Dan, from contact equals foul penalty. There can be just a collision, an accidental collision. As I said, the centre-half tried to come across. He was putting the brakes on. His hands were in the air. I actually thought the referee had a really good night overall in general. I thought he reffed the game well. There was players diving, there was players moaning, and his body language was good, and he was just telling people to get up, have to get up and play on. And he reffed it really well. And he had that one big call right at the end with a penalty. But I think he reffed it well, and I think it was the right decision.
We were chatting to Peter Walton about it. He said that he didn't think it was a penalty, Ronaldo going down before there was contact.
Peter who? Peter, they seek him here, they seek him there. Where the hell's he disappeared to? He must have been trying to charge too much for this show. I don't know. What have I told you about asking goalkeepers about penalties? What have I told you? Never ask a goalie about any.
Look, we forget Shaka hates Messi and loves Ronaldo, doesn't he?
The one thing I would say is that even if the defender hadn't been there, Ronaldo was going to fall over.
Yeah.
He controlled the ball and he'd lost control of his balance and he was already on the way over. So I don't think that was a major talking point.
I'm not sure that he was going over. That's where.
Well, there was an angle. You watched this game?
I'm not sure that he was.
There was an angle. There was a slow-mo angle.
I think his control was clean.
Yes.
And maybe he anticipates the contact and maybe he's looking for it. But if the defender wasn't there, there is no doubt in my mind that he could have and would have kept his balance and got on at the end of that ball. So Nussi bundles into him.
Listen, I know he's done some magic things in his career, but he was going to defy the laws of gravity, getting back up from the angle he was at in the slow-mo camera. So I don't... Anyway, that's not really the big story here. The big story is how poor Juventus were again.
And how their season is falling apart a little bit. I know they're still in this contest, Don, but as Craig mentioned, this is a side who are fourth. Mm.
in Serie A, very much off the pace, into the favourites to win the title. Gab Marcotti would be here going, it's a transitional season. It doesn't matter. Expectations were low going into the start of this campaign. Pirlo was brought in to change the style of things to make them more competitive in the future. But we are seeing absolutely no progress, are we, done under Pirlo at the moment?
No, I totally agree. And we were talking on the show a couple of months back when he got off to a disastrous start. And if Mauro Sarri was in charge, the losses that Juve have taken this season, he would have been criticised massively. Mm. So he's sort of getting a free pass because he's a new manager. He's trying to change the style. The team's more or less morphing into his DNA, really, where he was a cultured player. And he's trying to have a slow tempo. It doesn't suit Juve. When you've got Bentancur and Rabiot in midfield, they're going to get closed down. Porto closed them down tonight. So good. They pressed them big time. They didn't have the talent and the speed to play out from the back and into midfield and through the lines. But it's the big games that are costing them. They lost against Inter. They lost against Napoli at the weekend. They weren't good enough. But it was tonight's showing where I really thought that was one of their poorest performances. Yeah. There was no real structure. There was no real DNA. There was no speed about their play. They were just relying on maybe a bit of Ronaldo magic and Morata coming off the bench for 10, 15 minutes, who looked quite lively. But it was a real, disjointed performance, I thought.
Juventus sit fourth in a league where Inter Milan are top. Inter Milan, who finished bottom of their group in the Champions League, right? And fans in particular, but also people in our business, get carried away with these ex-players, right? Oh, he was this, he was that for Italy, he was that, brilliant. And I'll go back to these points. Sir Alex Ferguson didn't get the United job because he was this great player. Arsene Wenger didn't revolutionise Arsenal because he was this great player. City didn't go after Guardiola just because of his playing at Barcelona. They went after him because of the job he did there in Bayern Munich. Similar Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp. The list goes on. These are guys that are steeped in the dye of learning the management
Solskjaer's
job.
Solskjaer's gone in, done well at Manchester United.
Has he? I must have missed that one. We could be talking about the same thing with Arteta at Arsenal. We've seen Frank Lampard at Chelsea. Yep. Not to say that none of these guys will go on to be great managers. They might. But this dropping, and the people go back to Guardiola and say, well, he did it. He came from the B team. And
Zidane as well, people point to as well, given his success in the Champions League.
Yeah, but is Zidane a great manager or just somebody who goes in there and coaches? Look, the bottom line is Pirlo might get a little bit more leeway because of the player he was.
Right.
But that's a nonsense. That's an absolute nonsense. And Juventus have taken a big risk here in trying to make these whatever changes they want to make to be competitive, by the way, in this competition. Not in Serie A. They were winning Serie A every year.
Yeah.
They wanted to make the change to be competitive in the Champions League. And boy, they were complete. I know it might be different next year when the novice manager has another 12 months. I suggest probably not.
Who goes through?
I'm not going to say Juventus now. I'm going to say Porto.
Don?
I think probably Juve will just get it done, but they might not go any further.
Shaq?
Oh,
we lost Shaq's mic. We'll never know. We'll never know what he had to say.
Add that to penalties. Don't ask a goalie.
Just a reminder there, the Gab and Jules podcast. Gab is back. On Thursday.
I didn't know he'd been away.
He had a holiday, but he's back now. He'll be rejoining.
Shows you what I know.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Manchester City are unstoppable at the moment. Taking on Everton today in the Premier League, Phil Foden, Mahrez and Bernardo Silva scoring the three goals that gives them yet another win. and it's done and dusted, isn't it, in the Premier League. Still with 14 matches to go, Manchester City 10 points clear of Manchester United. It's very difficult to foresee any sort of circumstance that will see Manchester City not being crowned champions. Well, Don Hutchinson is back with us. Craig Burley in the studio as well. Don, let's start with you. Ancelotti, after the game, summed it up pretty much, didn't he? Saying they're unstoppable.
Yeah, he said they were impossible to play against. And you watched the game tonight and they were cruising, Dan. You're watching a game of football against a good team like Everton and you're just thinking it's only a matter of time before they score. They scored some good goals as well. Bad goals for Everton to concede. Jordan Pickford for the third one. Gylfi Sigurdsson, lazy, doesn't track his runner. But City were very good. They went through the gears in the second half when needed. Played some great football. Kevin De Bruyne made a little cameo appearance at the end as well. He was full of smiles, as was the manager Guardiola. So perfect night really for Guardiola and City fans watching on.
We were saying, weren't we, Craig, this without Gundogan, who of course has been so impressive over the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's
not, no De Bruyne either.
It's not just a quality, it's the quality movement. You watch the way that that Mahrez just comes inside and gives Bernardo Silva that option before the great finish. And there's no doubt, you know, Pickford on the third goal doesn't cover himself in glory. I mean, it's a big headache for Gareth Southgate. But yeah, you know, they're doing this. So there's 10 points plus the goal difference. So it's basically 11 points. So that's, unless a disaster happens, then nobody's catching him. He's able to bring Walker in. He's able to move Cancelo to left back from right back, where he's been excellent. He's able to partner Diaz and Laporte this time instead of Laporte and Stones from the other day. We know the preferred partnership is Diaz and Stones. You mentioned Gundogan, who's been arguably the best player in the last 2 months. Goal-scoring midfielder. De Bruyne has been out. Aguero's been out, and yet they're still whipping the rest of the Premier League.
Yeah.
An absolutely brilliant job this year. Domestically, let's see if they can take that all the way in the Champions League, because there's no reason, looking at all the other teams and the little problems that they've got around Europe, all the big clubs, no reason this Man City side can't win it this year. I mean, there's just, unless they shoot themselves in the foot again. And with, remember them going out to Lyon last year?
Yeah.
And all the years that they've gone out when they've arguably been the better side.
Spurs, obviously, as well.
Spurs, Liverpool, where they went to Anfield and were dereliction of duty defensively.
Yeah.
Spurs, poor defensively. Lyon last year, poor defensively. They look great. I know they lost a goal in this game, but they've not lost many. They look great defensively. So where are the flaws that the other teams are going to pick apart? It's hard to see it at the moment, even without those wonderful players. You talked about it, I think you asked Jan Agafjordov yesterday about Bayern Munich and Man City. On the day, without mistakes, I think Man City are the better side. They are the best side in Europe, potentially, but they've got to get it done. They've not proven, like PSG, they can get it done. There's no reason, there should be no real excuses this year for the manager, because defensively they've got the pieces of the puzzle in place, and everything else is happening around about them. So I think they should be winning the league and the Champions League this year. I mean, it's not as simple as that, but I don't see any reason or any excuses, even without a couple of those players, why they shouldn't be doing it.
Don, what has been impressive with this run? We take a look at the bookies. 66-1 on. Remember, that means you've got to put £66, dollars, whatever you want, on to win $1 or pound Champions League.
You're explaining that for dummies, because even I knew that.
Well, I'm just emphasising how emphatic it is. Champions League 3-1. FA Cup 11-8. They're through to the quarterfinals. Carabao Cup 5-1. They've got to finish play Spurs in the final. Don, it is very, very, isn't it, feasible for this side to win all four of those trophies this season?
Yeah, it's feasible. I mean, taking the four, you know, would be some feat. I mean, Guardiola's trophy haul, wherever he's been, has been huge. And you just got the feeling this year or this season he's going to be coming up with a lot of trophies. They'll sail past Gladbach in the Champions League. That'll be a massive number. They'll win that by, it could be anything, 4, 5, 6, 7, because Gladbach are nowhere near the side City are. I think the impressive thing, like Craig said, is they're doing this without Aguero and Jesus, really. But they've got the talent. They've got the intelligence. If Riyad Mahrez wants to play as a false nine, or Gundogan playing as a false nine, Raheem Sterling the same. They've got quality at the back. As Craig said again, Ruben Diaz and John Stones have been ridiculous. And now John Stones is fighting for his place. Didn't play tonight. I think that's because it was against Everton, his former club. And Laporte done well. So the standard of their football has just been incredible. And they've got back, I think, to the City of a couple of years ago where you watch them play. There's an expectancy when you watch them because they are so good. And it doesn't matter really who comes in front of them. You think City will win this. City will win this. And they're doing it. I think, what's that, 17 on the spin?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But, you know, there'll be those out there that talk about money and squads and what. But that's to gloss over the coaching aspect. You know, we can say, you know, Guardiola picks, he's at Barca, did a great job there. They weren't great when he took over. And he moulded them into this amazing team. Steps into Bayern, already, a successful team. City have lots of money. But you don't just put all these players together and they play like that. You don't. Mm. It's not as simple as that. And you don't have the fullbacks playing the way they are. You don't have the goalkeeper playing it out the way he does. You don't have the movement of the front guys and the wide guys in the midfield. That doesn't just happen by him saying, all right, lads, here's the team this week. There's the 11. Let's go and play.
Right.
It's about what they... And look, he has his faults. And we talked about it. He's had to be more pragmatic defensively. That's why they haven't won the Champions League, and maybe they won't. But their performances don't just happen by sticking together some of the best players around Europe. You've got to put them in there, and then you've got to work with them, and then they've got to understand what you want. Kinsella, a case in point. Right? The way he plays, the way he drops in the middle of the park, the way Raheem Sterling's improved, all of these things. Right? You can not like Guardiola, you can whatever. You might prefer Klopp, or you might think Zidane's great, or whatever. I don't care. It's not just money. It's about what he does on the training field, and that is crystal clear when you watch them play. And even as Dom was saying, and I think you said Ancelotti said, it's a head scratcher how you stop them. They might have days where in front of goal they have 70% possession and don't score. I've seen it. But that's not to say that their movement and their build-up play is a real head scratcher for a lot of these managers. How do we stop this?
Sure.
They've all tried it. Go at them, sit back, press them. And they've all tried different things, and it's been really when they're super fluid, and they weren't fluid last year. When they're super fluid, they're a real, real. I mean, them and PSG at the moment, if they were to meet, holy smokes.
Bayern Munich as well, you'd say as well.
Yeah, I mean, probably PSG and Man City.
I think Bayern Munich probably better.
Well, I would say not.
There we are. Extra time is available, as always, on our YouTube channel. Goodness me, we go through some stories with the boys.
Feel free to complain.
You can complain. Very mean to Don and his charitable heart. Craig tells a fascinating hitchhiker story. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, did you see this in League One? Darren Drysdale, the referee, has apologised for his actions as he confronted Alan Judge. He will be disciplined harshly, according to the FA.
What do you make of it, Craig?
Well, clearly, I would imagine the player has said something to him, not very condescending, and yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's a difficult job for referees, but they're not allowed, clearly, they can't cross that line.
Right.
And thankfully, he never leaned his head in anymore, and it was just a movement, but I think he is going to be reprimanded, but I think that'll be all. And I think it's a lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Don't headbutt a player.
Lesson learned. It's a bit like you giving me these short sheets.
There we go.
Never give me short sheets.
Right.
Lesson learned.
Stay tuned for Extra Time. It is quite extraordinary, some of the conversations that we have. Plus, we introduce a new segment, Why Don't. Stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. We also welcome Shaka and Don. Don, before we get to the questions, I've got to check you're okay because someone hit you off your bike. Are you all right?
Yeah. Little
Shaka,
old man crashed into me the other day. Shaka laughing. Scandalous, Shaka. I got run over.
I'm not laughing.
And then my
at
bike
all.
Went underneath
I
the
did
van.
Not laugh.
And then the van had the audacity to trample all over my bike. Ruined.
The guy didn't get out and say, listen, I need 600.
A van run over you?
Yeah. His bike.
Yeah. Shaka, you're feeling guilty now, aren't you, Shaka?
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, that's all right. And that's why his face looks like that.
And then the guy get out and he says, I need $600 for the ferry back to Ireland. Did you hear that?
I went, here you go. Here you go, take it.
It's a money.
So the guy ran over his bike and then said, oh, it's me again. I'm the guy that you gave money to go back to Ireland.
Oh, my.
Oops, I haven't left yet.
Oh, dear. This, by the way, if you don't follow Don on Twitter, is when he was stopped at a services in England. And basically, people asked him for money because they run out of money to get back home, and he gave them £250. Because that's just the generous
person. Well, there was
a
family. Right. Well, let's tell the story properly, Dan. There was a family in distress.
Right.
Irish fella said he needed his car filled up with fuel to get him to Dover, or Felixstowe, wherever he was going. So I filled up his car full of fuel, 50 quid, and then he went, by the way, I need another 200 to get the family on the ferry back to Ireland. And I fell for it. But I thought, what if there's a chance I've just saved the man and his family's life?
Exactly. You saved his life.
But he had to fill the car up, though, and it wasn't like 20 bucks in fuel. It was like,
no,
top it right up to the top.
Oh, God. In the magic beans.
Who are you? Who's that? 20 bucks? What's 20 bucks?
$20. That's what we deal in dollars here. You know, it's America, Don. It's not. Not in the euro.
Right. Right, here we go. Shaka, would you have given the gentleman the money?
I'd give him Don's money.
Give him Don's address.
I think Shaka would. Shaka, I think you would.
Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No.
Call it a hitchhiker here?
Yes.
In America?
Yes.
The same thing?
Yeah.
Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No.
I did that once. As a youngster, driving back from Scotland to London in the middle of the night.
No.
And I thought to myself, how stupid was that?
Why did you do that? You don't like people at the best of time, let alone people on the side of the road.
I know. My caring side.
So I was
what
in a made ga- you do that?
I was in a gas station and I was driving back from Scotland to London through the night, right? Because I had training the next day and I wanted to leave as late as possible.
Right.
And I pulled into the gas station, filled up, and as I was getting back in the car, this guy came over with, he was a bit older than me, but bags and all sorts. He said, listen, mate, I need a lift, I need a ride. And I went, I panicked and I went, because I've got a big heart.
Aww.
And I went, yeah, get in. And then I thought, and I was driving. That's what you do when you're driving.
Yeah, you were driving.
Obviously.
Yes.
And that's me driving.
Right.
And I must admit, I can't use the language, but I thought to myself, yeah, he could have a knife, anything. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
He could stab me to death.
Right.
Many people watch this show,
right,
would believe would be.
Then what happened? Get to the end of the story.
I let him out somewhere, I can't remember. Oh, I lied to him.
Right.
I lied. I said I was getting off at a junction
right.
to go somewhere.
Okay.
And this was as far as I was going to London.
Okay.
Because I was panicking.
Right.
So imagine that. You should never do
was
that.
Was he Irish?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that? You should was never do that.
It's not one of your best stories, Craig. All right, here we go. Let's start. Craig.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Might be the same fella.
Craig.
At least I never gave him money.
Right, okay. Everyone's very angry because we haven't spoken about anything to do with soccer or football
comments,
yet.
The comments
below. Comments are angry.
People don't care about Don and his big heart and you and your weird hitchhiker story.
Why are they answering? People will say, why are they talking about that? Right. And then somebody else will go in the comments. Yeah. You've got to go and read it now and again.
Okay.
For love. Somebody else will say, because it's people sending questions and they answer it and they go, I didn't think you read
the comments.
No, but it's, I'm bored at the moment. There's no golf.
Right, okay, good. I know you are.
And I'll go down for sometimes to get a laugh.
Okay, right.
See how... Okay,
let's
all right,
go.
All right.
Let's start. Craig. Here we go. This is a bad one to start with as well. Craig, at this moment, despite Messi losing badly with Barcelona yesterday,
Why are you speaking like that? Just read the question.
No, I'm reading the question. I'm doing it as the tone of the tweet. You said that Ronaldo changed his game.
Yes.
Do you think he's better than Messi now? Because if he also doesn't score, he doesn't really give you much.
What's that got to do with he changed his game to adapt?
Who would you choose right now? Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Don?
Yeah, Ronaldo.
No-brainer.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Messi can't turn himself into, I don't know, a holding midfield play or someone that can play off the left or off the right and's going to put a shift in. Ronaldo could.
Xhaka?
I still go with Lionel Messi.
He's trying to get back in Messi's good books, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But not Messi's good books.
Here we
good
go.
Books off
here
the Messi.
We go. Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, it's after saying here that he could never be considered
goalkeeper.
The greatest.
I don't understand what Ronaldo changed. It's not difficult to understand unless you find it difficult to understand how somebody has adapted.
What are we asking a goalkeeper about number 10s for?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the show that I've done, Dan asked him about a penalty, and I'm like, what are you doing?
I know, Don was on the show.
There you go.
Yes, it was like 10 minutes ago.
I thought it was that Irish guy. But the thing is, Don won't remember that. He's forgot it already. So there was this question, Don, on the show.
Right. Okay. Xhaka, why Messi over Ronaldo?
He doesn't know. He's buying himself time,
I still think Messi is a better all-round player. He just doesn't have any kind of a supporting cast at Barcelona right now.
Don, how has Juventus swapping Cancelo with Danilo helped them in any form? It seems that Manchester City clearly came out as the only victor out of this deal. Cancelo's brilliant.
It's the most ridiculous decision I think I've seen in a long, long time. Cancelo was even playing out of position. He was playing left back for Juve and he was still starring. And he's gone to Man City. It took him a little bit of while to get going, but my word, what a player. I mean, he plays right back or left back or, you know, in a back three, but he almost plays like a David Silva. Once he gets further up the pitch, he's got the vision and the technique to play like a number 10. He's an incredible player.
He needs, apparently, he needs some money to get back to...
don't. Right, Craig.
He played left back tonight, Don, actually, for Man City.
Craig, how deflating
actually,
is...
That's a nice thing, though, that he did. I mean,
it is a lovely thing that he did. I don't know why you keep mocking him.
Well, because I think the thought process would be...
You got Xhaka laughing at him getting run over by a van.
It's a very nice thing to do, and Don obviously felt that he was helping a family. The question mark is always...
Craig,
and I know it's in the back of your
all
mind,
I
Don.
Lost... What? All I lost was 250 quid. You nearly died.
Big time.
I didn't nearly die.
Boy, the hitchhiker, right.
Well, you did. You pitched up a hitchhiker.
Don't get back to that boring story.
But the question in the back of your mind is that you're
gullible.
Is it a genuine family problem? Or have you just the thought that you've just had your pants taken down?
Yes. Right.
Which I would imagine,
Craig,
might be the case.
At the moment. Oh, no, we've done that one. Right, Craig, how deflated...
I was picking up a hitchhiker, a boring story. You tell the story.
Well, because nothing happened.
Yeah, but like,
if he'd robbed you or taken all your clothes and stolen your car, that'd be much more exciting.
Well, thanks very much. I wouldn't have thought so. That'd running down the motorway to London with no clothes on.
That'd be good.
Well, very exciting.
Don would have given you the money.
Yeah.
Don would have given you his clothes.
He'd have given me the body.
Right
here.
How deflating is it to play with a goalie who's not good at his job? Unrelated question, did Jordan Pickford play today?
How good is it to play with a goalie that doesn't give you any confidence? I think that doesn't give you any confidence. Yeah. Most of the guys I played with were... It's a very individual skill. I don't know. It's no different to playing with centre half who's making mistakes, or a striker who can't hit the back, can't hit a barn door to an extent. It's just another position on the field.
Don?
No, it's a bit of a nightmare, is it, when you're playing in a game and you think your keeper's never going to make a save. But, you know, they are a rare breed, and it's only when you look back and you think, well, maybe we've been a little bit harsh. Me and Shaka had loads of arguments at West Ham because we cared. And I always go back to the 4-4. You know, me and Shaka played in a West Ham Charlton game, which finished 4-4. Ludicrous game of football it was. I got dragged after an hour. I had an absolute stinker. But Shaka let four in, so I didn't feel too bad at the end of the game.
Don brings this up every extra time, Shaka. Were you driving the van?
I give him money for his petrol.
Centre-halves used to get annoyed at goalkeepers that wouldn't come off the line.
Right.
For crosses. But that's an individual thing. But I
because it's an easy way for a goalkeeper to hide, I assume, yeah?
Well, certain, like Jim Leighton at Aberdeen, when he had Alec McLeish and Willie Miller, Jim was a great keeper and he went to Man United, but he wasn't a great... And so like, they're all different.
Anyone that it may be more relevant...
Jim Leighton.
Yeah. It's 1982, isn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
Jim Leighton's in the 80s.
Jim Leighton played with me in the 1998 World Cup.
Yes, but he started in the 80s when he was at Aberdeen, when you were referring to. That's when they beat Real Madrid.
And he played into the 2000s.
I know, but you're talking about names that people don't know.
Well...
Right.
You asked me about a keeper that we played with.
Yes.
And now you're telling me to talk about somebody in 2010.
Well, just someone.
When I finished playing in 2003.
Well, you should have played for longer. Don, what... every time is a percentage. Don, what percentage do you give Liverpool to go through with a 2-0 advantage?
I would say 90.
Oh. That's a good one. Have you been studying, Don?
Yeah. What are you giving Leipzig?
Yes, mate. I've been doing my homework.
And then, so what chance have Leipzig got?
8-10.
Yes! That's a thing.
I did, actually. I did. I had to second guess myself there.
What's the percentage chance, Don, if a man comes up to you in the street tomorrow and asks to get his car filled up? What's the percentage chance? That you're going to take him to the gas station.
He's got more chance. He has got more chance than me giving him a lift for 5 hours from Scotland to London.
There you go.
I didn't. I wasn't all the way from Scotland. I don't pick up Scottish people.
Yeah, because you panicked.
Because you start talking to me about football.
Panicked.
Don, on a previous show, Shaka mentioned that you would be the one person willing to lie down in the wall on a free kick. Would you in fact be willing to do this?
That's the way. I hate it. I would never, ever, ever be the one that lie down on the floor in a wall. It looks ridiculous. It's terrible. I understand why they do it, but my goodness me. Can you imagine if you were a player and that was your job? Your sole job was to lie behind a wall on the floor.
Right.
How embarrassing.
So what's your response to the manager, whatever manager it was when you played, that said to you, Hutchison, this is your job today in front of all the lads. What's your response?
I would say to him, Gaffer, can I have a word? Burley would be better than me because he's a little bit taller and he'd take one in the face. Not my job, that. It's a bad job.
Yeah,
bad
I would say get stuffed.
Craig, did you play in the Croatia game, Scotland, when I got asked to man mark Prozaneski?
Probably. Probably because I said no.
I think we drew 1-1 away from home.
Yes.
I think we drew 1-1 away from home, and Craig Brown said to me, can you do me a favour? Can you man mark someone? And I said, I've never man marked anyone in my career. What do you need? And he went, man mark Prozaneski for me. Tore me to shreds.
It was unbelievable.
But you're showing off now. If the coach tells you to do it, you do it.
No.
You do it or you're not playing.
You know me well enough now.
I don't know, but...
I'm not lying behind the wall for anybody. Get somebody else.
Well, you're not playing, Bernie. Same. Fine.
Right, I'm not playing.
Fine. Fine, go.
Right, good.
Pat your back. Good, off you go. That's it. You're done.
Right.
Nice.
We're on the golf course.
Right, there you go.
No, I'm not doing that job. I've done many jobs. I'm not doing that. Somebody else is going to have to do it. Somebody's going to have to do it.
Same.
Shaka, why did you think Don would do it?
I don't know. Because Craig Brown...
You just thought I was gullible, Shaq, didn't you? You thought I'd be gullible.
Well,
You think I'd be gullible enough to do it?
Well, that's a bit like asking, Shaq, it's the same thing as like there was probably 100 people on that street when the fella wanted to get the ferry back to Ireland and his car filled up. Why Don?
Why Don? That's going to be our new segment, Why Don?
I'll get a t-shirt printed.
Why Don?
I think that'd be good. Yes.
How much do you need?
But Don, like,
how much do you need?
You would do it if you had to do it, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't. I'd say to the manager, yeah, I'll do that, Gaffer. And then when someone had a free kick, I just forgot. It's embarrassing.
Don.
It's terrible.
Don. Do you know when the guy asked you for the ferry money?
Did you ever consider?
No, I'm being serious now. But did you ever consider that the ferries might not be running because of the pandemic?
Yes. But he wound the window down and I seen his four girls and his wife in the front. And I thought, look at them. Look at the state of them.
Oh, what a big heart you have,
Don. State of them.
There you go. Beautiful.
You know what I mean? Cost me a little bit of money, so what? Better than getting killed.
Be sure to tweet. I don't think he's going to kill you, Don.
No, he's talking about me.
Kill you.
Craig. No, Craig nearly got killed. I was all right. He was tiny.
That's all right.
I think we've embellished my picking up the hitchhiker to me nearly being killed. I mean, you've not seen me in Mortal Kombat.
No?
I know.
What do you like in Mortal Kombat?
I'm a very good runner.
Yeah, I bet. That's it. Thank you very much. Be sure to tweet us your Venmo addresses. Don is giving out more money over the week.
Gas money.
Any money. Anything you need.
Food money, supplies, the lot.
Gas money. Listen to him. Gas and bucks.
Oh, dear. ESPN FC is back tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.